Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Andy Benoit, NFL analyst for Sports Illustrated, MMQB, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Andy, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully. And my first question, when we had a chance to sit down and chat down at Super Bowl, we talked about Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers and the relationship. And now we're, you know, you get obviously the Michael Silver article. But to me, more so, the proof is going to be in the pudding. I don't worry about who's saying what right now. I worry about what this offense is going to look like. So you tell me, with Matt LaFleur coming in here with his philosophy out of that Shanahan tree, what is this offense, do you think, it's going to look like?
Well, and I appreciate you taking that angle, Bill, because I agree with you 100%. This whole idea, you know, LaFleur says, well, we still have to work on the audibles thing. People are running with that and saying, oh, you know, I don't know, consternation there in Green Bay, but we haven't even gotten to training camp yet. Most teams would not have their audibles installed by now, I would imagine, especially first-year coaches. So, of course, they have stuff to work on, and I'm glad that they appear to be on the same page about what they have to work on. As far as what the offense will look like, let's put the audibles aside, just what LaFleur wants to do. And actually, we can bring the audibles back in, because part of the reason there aren't a lot of audibles in that system is there's a lot of pre-snap movement and motioning, and then the formations are very specific to what they're doing. They're going to put these guys in tight minus splits at wide receivers. So think of the Rams. When the Rams are on the field, their receivers are not out wide. They're almost always tight to the ball, kind of like a flex tight end almost. I think they'll do a lot of that. Not every snap like the Rams almost do, but that'll be a big deal. They'll unbalance the formation. Jimmy Graham's going to play by himself on one side of the field a lot of the time. All the wide receivers will be on the other. And part of the reason they do these things is because it forces the defense into a predictable coverage, which negates the purpose of an audible a little bit. If you line up in just a basic formation, then you read the defense and try to figure out what the defense is in, and then you audible to a different play. But if you're lining up in a formation that dictates what the defense will be in, that they're only going to play this coverage or that coverage against this look, then you don't need to audible. That's why you have the one play and then the other play call, and you kill one and go with the other. So it all makes sense. It's just not something that the Packers are familiar with. And it's not just about Aaron Rodgers making calls at the line of scrimmage, too. What he needs to remember is there are 10 other players that also must know what's going on. And this system, like they have it now, can be very advantageous to those players.
So, offensively speaking, do you, with more action, more movement, more jostling of position, you know, wideouts moving, running backs moving, obviously the quarterback is going to have some play action and such, and things that Aaron Rodgers is actually really good at it. When he sells it, man, he's one of the best I've ever seen. And I remember I saw years and years of Boomer Esiason in that Cincinnati operation with Sam Weish, and that was almost a masterpiece of what they did, an art form, if you sell it properly. So my question is, this, to me, plays to the strengths of Aaron Rodgers. That's why I don't see a lot of contention between him and Matt LaFleur. I can't see this thing developing into some kind of problematic situation unless Matt LaFleur just isn't the smartest guy in the room and Aaron Rodgers just doesn't want him run his offense. And in that case, just Aaron would look bad. I'm seeing both guys that are just exchanging ideas and then going all in on this, don't you?
Yeah, that is what I see. And what's going to be interesting, because what you're describing in that system, Bill, it's very we've talked about this already. It's very detailed on the timing of everything. The ball comes out on a certain time, especially with play action, where the whole idea is often, and especially when you're doing the Shanahan approach, it's often to manipulate one defender and throw off of that defender. So if he steps left, you throw right in the simplest terms. And you don't have all day to do that. There's a little window that opens up when that happens, and that's why you have to play on schedule. McCarthy almost never asked Rodgers to play on schedule, or if he did, Rodgers didn't do it. The system did not demand that Rodgers had to be on a tight schedule as a thrower of the ball. The ball did not have to be out right now like it will under LaFleur, and that's where the big difference lies. So Rodgers would often drop back and survey the field. I think there were a lot of times where he surveyed it too long, and sometimes he made better plays by doing that, and sometimes he made worse plays by doing that. It doesn't matter now because that approach overall is not conducive to LaFleur's scheme. There will not be many better plays available if he's going to survey the field off schedule. So those two have to work together to get that part figured out. And to me, that's the biggest issue. The audible thing, that will factor in at some point. But if they get this part sorted and on schedule, and we know the system works when you play on schedule, and I think Rodgers is a better QB on schedule than off schedule anyway, if they get that sorted out, the audibles becomes ancillary because what they're doing will be working in and of itself. Rodgers is only going to want an audible if he doesn't feel the offense is working, and I don't see how the offense wouldn't work given his skill set and given the way this offense has been proven in the past.
Talking with Andy Benoit of the MMQB, also with Sports Illustrated, and go over to the defensive side of the football now. What Mike Pettine did last year, I thought, with some of the controversy that he had in the secondary with HaHa Clinton Dix, all the injuries that they ended up suffering, I thought to come in eighth in the league in sacks and a decent, not a great defense. I thought it was a masterpiece. I really did. I thought he did more with less than just about anybody in the league. Now he's got some pieces. He's got some pass rushers. I think Adrian Amos is going to be one of the most underrated pickups in the entire National Football League this offseason. He's got a lot of young talent. And they didn't draft any starters. They drafted a lot of good quality speed and height depth. So my question is, how good do you think this defense can be?
I think it could take a quantum leap forward. I agree with you. Amos is an upgrade tremendously over Clinton Dix. I mean, the Packers must be just dancing around in circles that not only did they get Chicago's guy, but they stuck Chicago with their guy. Because Amos ran my guess is he was the sheriff of that secondary in Chicago under Vic Fangio. And anyone who can do that, especially early in their career, that guy knows football because Chicago's scheme coverage-wise is the hardest in the NFL to deal with. Pettine runs a different scheme. It's a lot more man-to-man stuff. And where he's complex is in the pressure packages. And one thing Pettine will do is blitz his defensive back. So I'm sure we'll see Amos used in a lot of different varieties. I struggled a little bit with Pettine last year for the reason that they were a highly inconsistent secondary. And I think that came from playing so many young guys at so many different positions. Josh Jackson, for example, would play outside corner. He'd play slot. I think he got snaps at safety at times. He played linebacker in certain packages. Josh Jackson's a rookie. And they had a lot of guys in that kind of scenario. So not only are you playing out of position on some weeks, but the guys next to you are, and so it's really hard to find a comfort level. But now the upside of that, the reason Pettine plays that way is because they do a lot of disguising, especially with those pressure packages, and they don't do a ton of stuff schematically. They just do a lot. They do a few things with a lot of different players. So instead of learning 10 plays, we're going to teach you two positions, and then the defense is, or the offense isn't going to know the difference because you're out of a spot and it might look different to them. So that's why I think they'll take a big leap forward. Just having so many young guys now more experienced in that scheme with Pettine, and then having, I think, a better sheriff in the secondary with Amos to oversee it all and probably get it organized on the field at times. I do think they can take a big step forward. And the biggest thing of all of it, Bill, is they've got guys that can cover one-on-one. And if you have that, then there's everything available to you in your pressure design.
How much better, we talked about this earlier today as well with Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV, and we've said, you know, just because they didn't draft a ton of starters, by my calculations, their special teams should get dramatically better. This team needs better special teams. They got speed. They got some guys that like to hit. I still think Mason Crosby's quality, even though they couldn't figure out that kicking situation last year, I think part of it was more so the hold than it was specifically the kicker. So you tell me, how much better all around do you think this team now will be?
Much better. I think the whole idea of who's a starter, who's not, that gets immensely blown out of proportion. The NFL today is about packages and sub-packages and who do you play in nickel, who do you play in big nickel when it's a third safety in there rather than a third corner, who do you play in dime, where do those guys play. You know, do you have a dime linebacker that can play safety or vice versa? So it doesn't matter who the media guide says is the starter. That's old rigid positioning that means nothing anymore. It's a matter of who you can play and where they can line up in what situations. And they've got a lot of options and variables for that. And those two guys they signed in free agency, Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith, I think Preston's going to wind up playing 30% of the snaps, but I think Za'Darius Smith will be a big factor for them. They also lend themselves to the versatility up front in the front seven.
I'm looking forward to the season and what this team can accomplish. Now, the final question is, are they a playoff team?
The expectation should be absolutely yes. Now, does that mean they'll make the playoffs? You know, we don't know how that goes, but they're without question a playoff caliber team and probably a Super Bowl contending caliber team on paper. A lot of moving pieces, a lot of new things to figure out. Maybe that puts them behind the eight ball early on a little bit, but they're a talented team. The other thing, though, is that NFC North is also very talented. The Vikings are much better than they were a year ago. The Lions are going to be better. I think the Bears will take a step back, but they're taking a step back from the top of the division. So that's a competitive four-team race in that division.
Good stuff as always, buddy. I certainly appreciate it. I look forward to talking to you, too, as training camp nears, okay?
You got it. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Andy. Talk to you soon. There you go. NFL analyst for Sports Illustrated and the MMQB. That is Andy Manoy joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years of being going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.